Now, the text of Scripture we want to look at today is verse number 6 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 11. We've been looking at different promises of the Scriptures, and really the title of today's message is the blessing of not being offended with Christ. The blessing of not being offended with Christ. And dealing with that promise, our text for today is verse number 6 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 11. Where it says there, and Christ is speaking, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Today, yes, we want to consider God's promise of blessing upon those who are not offended with Christ. And that promise there is outlined and mentioned to us in the words of Christ here in verse 6 of Matthew chapter 11. Now, in this passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to disciples of John the Baptist. You see, at this particular time, John was in prison. He had challenged King Herod about his sin of adultery. Herod was in a sinful relationship with Herodias, who was the wife of his own brother. And when he was in prison, we're told how John sends some of his disciples to Christ. And he sends them with a very important question. And you see that in verse 2 and verse 3 of the chapter, where it says, now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Notice that question, verse 3, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And with these words, they're really asking, was Christ the Messiah? Was this the promised one of God? And Christ answers their question by giving proof in verse 5 that he was indeed the Messiah, the sent one of God. Look at what he says, really proving who he was. And verse number 5, he says, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. These were things that Christ himself had done while he was here on earth. He performed many mighty miracles. The blind could see, the lame could walk, the lepers were cleansed of their disease, the deaf could hear. He even raised the dead. And notice also again there, he was a preacher of the gospel of Christ. He proclaimed the message of the gospel to the people of his day. And by these things, they were all but tokens, proof, if you like, evidence that Christ was indeed the Son of God. Then following on from this in verse 6, notice what Christ goes on and says. And he says, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And here he really is speaking of God's blessing upon all who will own him as Savior, upon all who would seek to follow him as a disciple of Christ. My opinion is divided as to why John sent these two disciples with this question to Christ. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? There are some that would say that John sent his two disciples with this question because John's faith at this time had become weak through all the trials and through all the adversities and afflictions that he had suffered at this particular time. And then there are others, and they will tell us that John sent these two disciples with this question because he wanted his followers to cleave to the Lord when he was gone. He knew that his time on earth was soon drawing to a close. And when he was gone, he wanted his followers to press on and to cleave to the Lord and go on with God, go on serving God and living for Christ. Well, Christ's answer there in verse 5 and indeed verse 6 was an answer that certainly would have encouraged John's disciples to go on following the Lord, go on being a disciple for Christ, and go on living for the Lord. Now, these words here in particular in verse 6 of our text today, they really stand out, yes, as an encouragement, not only to the apostles or the followers of John, John's own disciples in his day, but they also stand out as an encouragement to all, whoever they are, wherever they are to be found, who would seek to be faithful disciples and faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ in their day and generation. Friends, it's for that reason then that I want us to look at this verse and see what it has to say to us, as it speaks really of God's blessing upon those who are not offended with Christ. Yes, we see here mentioned made of God's blessing upon those who are not offended with Christ. And there are three lessons I want just to set before you from this verse. The first lesson that we notice here from these words is that the Lord sees the believer's life of discipleship. The Lord sees the believer's life of discipleship. He says here, "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And when Christ uttered these words, he was telling John's followers really that he knew all about their life, that he knew all about their discipleship at this particular time. Yes, Christ knew all about John the Baptist, that he was in prison at this time. And Matthew 4, verse 12, it says there, Jesus heard that John was cast into prison. And by making this statement here, "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me," he was telling the followers here of John that he knew all about their life of discipleship. And that's one of the lessons here we can take from these words. The Lord is one who sees and he knows all about the life of discipleship that belongs to his people. And surely, brethren and sisters in Christ in our meeting this morning, here's a thought that brings great comfort and great encouragement to us as disciples for Christ and as followers of the Lord. Why do I say that? It is this, because no matter what happens to us, because of being the Lord's disciples, the Lord knows all about us. The Lord sees everything that concerns us as we seek to follow the Lord and seek to be disciples for Christ. Yes, believer, in being a disciple of the Lord, you may be mocked, you may be scorned, you may be ridiculed, you may be opposed, you may be hated because of your Christian faith. Well, whatever the opposition, remember this, the Lord sees your life as you seek to follow the Lord. The psalmist spoke of the Lord and he said, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." And the Lord spoke to the church at Smyrna and he said, "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty." He knew their trials, their opposition to them, their poverty, the things that they were suffering. He knew all about their life of discipleship for Christ. You think of Paul and Silas. Two missionaries in the early New Testament church, they were put in prison for the gospel. But God knew all about them, for he sent an earthquake to deliver them out of the prison cell in Philippi. Again, you think of Peter, he too was put in prison, and God knew all about him being in prison because he sent an angel to deliver him. The Bible says, "Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him and delivered Peter from the prison." You think of what the hymn writer says of the Lord. The hymn writer speaks of the Lord and says, "Jesus knows all about our struggles." Christian, as you seek to follow the Lord and be a disciple for the Lord, even as others would hinder you and oppose you as a Christian, the Lord knows all about your struggles, your trials. It was Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, who said, "Though the Lord be out of sight, we are not out of his sight." Remember that as you follow the Lord and as the Lord leads you and as you follow his leading in your life, you're not out of the sight of the Lord. The Lord's eye is upon you. Perhaps, yes, in recent times, believers, you've borne reproach maybe because of your faith in Christ in some way. Maybe you've borne reproach in your workplace amongst those whom you work with day by day. Maybe it's in your own family and those that are near and dear to you. Maybe it's in the community where you live, in the neighborhood where you live. You've borne reproach for Christ as you sought to follow the Lord. Well, Christian, take comfort today. The Lord knows all about it. For Christ says here in our verse, he says, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Yes, the Lord knows all about our life of discipleship. That's the first lesson we can take from the words of our text here this morning. The Lord knows about our life of discipleship. But then there's another lesson I want to set before you as well, and it is this, that there are those who are offended by a life of discipleship to Christ. There are those who are offended by a life of discipleship
to Christ. That's very apparent there from what Christ says in the text. He says, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Notice how he mentions the word offense or being offended. Thus we can take from that that there are those, yes, and they are offended by a life of discipleship to Christ. Yes, the very fact here that Christ utters these words says, shows us that there are those who are offended by being called to be a disciple of Christ. You know, there are many in our world today, many even here in this community of Enniskillen, and they take offense at the gospel. They will not repent of their sins. They will not trust Christ as Savior. My to such a Christ to them is as a stone of stumbling, the Bible says, and a rock of offense. They stumble at Christ. They're offended at Christ. They will not repent. They will not come to Christ for salvation. Friend, I wonder in our meeting today, or even as you listen in online, tell me, is this a picture of you today in this gathering? You who are listening in online? You say in your heart today that Christ and the gospel is not for me. You say in your heart today, I will get to heaven my own way. I will get to heaven by my own works. I will get to heaven by my own self-righteousness. Dear friend, if that is your thinking, if that is your ideology, I must say to you today, I must warn you that if you continue on in this pathway and you die in that state, you will perish. You will perish in hell forever and ever in your sin. For the Bible says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If you reject the gospel, die in your sin rejecting the gospel, you're lost, the Bible says, in hell forever and ever, in that place of everlasting torments, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, where there is no escape, where there is no departure, there is no getting out of the wrath to come. Then there are also those we can say further, and yes, there are some, and they follow Christ for a while in their life. But then something happens and they take offense at the teaching of Christ and the word of Christ for them, and they cease following the Lord. They start out for a while following the Lord. Then something happens and they cease and they turn away from the Lord. That happens. We read of such in the Gospel of John. Turn over to John's Gospel, chapter number 6. John's Gospel, chapter number 6. And look at what you read in verse 60. In verse 61 of the chapter, John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 60 and 61, it says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, that was the saying, the teaching of Christ, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? They were offended at the teaching of Christ. What was the consequence of that offense in their life? You go down to verse number 66 of the chapter and you'll see the outcome of that offense at Christ and his word. It says, from that time, from that very point, many of his disciples, it says, notice it, went back and walked no more with Christ. They went back. It's a terrible thing when a person goes back and walks no more with Christ. It's an awful thing. It's a fearful thing for anyone to turn back from following the Lord. I wonder, friend, in our meeting this morning, is this a picture of you? Maybe someone who is listening in today. Yes, once you profess to be a follower of Christ, but sadly you have taken offense at Christ and the teachings of Christ and the very word of Christ, and you have turned back from following the Lord. Well, the Lord says in his word, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Oh, be warned today, dear friend, that such a life displeases God. Such a life provokes God. Such a life incurs the judgment of God. You listen to what the Apostle Paul says of such in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 and verse 27. He says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth,
There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And there Paul speaks of God's judgment upon those who turn back from Christ, who turn away from his word, who take offense at Christ and walk with him part of the way, but then walk no more with Christ. Jesus says in that very same chapter then, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And then sadly also, there are times when God's people themselves take offense at Christ. Maybe because of some providence in their life, and they blame God, they get bitter against God, and they murmur against God, and they cease following in the ways of the Lord, and maybe even go so far to think that the Lord does not care for them, and the Lord is not concerned about them. That can happen in the life of the Christian. It happened in the life of the psalmist Asaph, for he said in Psalm 73, he says, "Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain." He really was saying, oh, it was a vain thing to be a Christian and to live for God because of circumstances in his life. Again, it was the same of Martha, for she spoke to the Lord at the end of Luke chapter 10, and she says, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone?" She accused the Lord, her Savior, not caring for her, of not being concerned about her. Believer, I wonder, is this a picture of you in their meeting this morning? Maybe you're offended at the Lord and you think the Lord does not care for you. He's not concerned about you. Maybe because of some circumstance or providence in your life, this thinking has come into your heart and into your mind, this thinking that it's not of God, that the Lord does not care for you. Let me assure you today, let me show you from the Word of God that the Lord does care for you. He cares for you more than you can ever understand, more than human words can ever describe. And He is concerned for you as His child, as His redeemed saint, no matter how rough, no matter how difficult, no matter how adverse the way in life may be. He shows us that time after time in His Word. Turn with me over, please, to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter number 49. And just go down with me, please, to verse number 14 of the chapter. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse number 14. Look at what is said there. It says, "But Zion said," this is the church of Christ, God's people. "But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me." Notice the charge. "The Lord, my Lord, hath forgotten me." Those who belong to the Lord, they accuse the Lord of forsaking them. They accuse the Lord of forgetting all about them. And look at how the Lord answers this charge and this thinking. He says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" He says, yea, they may forget. Sadly, yes, a mother may forget her child, and you see that to the fore today in the awful sin of abortion in her land and her nation at this time. Yet look at what the Lord goes on to say about His own people. He says, "Yet they may forget, yet I will not forget thee." He says, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." Oh, Christian, notice those words there at the end of verse 15. The Lord says to you today, dear believer, "Yet will I not forget thee." He says, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." What's the meaning there of these words? It is this, dear child of God. The Lord can never forget you. The Lord can never fail you. The Lord can never forsake you. And His eye is upon you day by day, moment by moment. His eye is never off you. He is concerned for you as His child. He says, "There, thy walls are continually before me." He says, "I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand." Think of how something is graven into a person's hand. Think of when a person gets a tattoo on their body. It's graven into their skin. It's always there. They can't avoid it. They're always looking at it. And that's the thought here, that the Lord's eye is always upon us. We're special to the Lord, believer. He has redeemed you, sent His Son for you. He has shed His blood for you.
Oh, can he ever forsake or forget or cast off his people? No. Turn over there to Jeremiah chapter 29 and the verse number 11. Look again at what the Lord says. He says, "For I know the thoughts," he says, "that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Oh, the Lord has thoughts of kindness and of peace and of blessing for you as his child. To give you, he says, an expected end. He cannot forsake or cast off his people. Something God cannot do, because he has redeemed you by his precious blood. He has saved you for time and for eternity. But then notice finally, just from our text today, not only, yes, that people are offended of Christ. Yes, Christ knows our life of discipleship. But notice finally here, the Lord's blessing upon those who are his faithful disciples. For look at what Christ says here to the disciples of John. He says, "Blessed is he whosoever," in other words, whoever this disciple is, whether they're saved a long time or just recently saved, young in the faith, mature in the faith, whatever, men, women, young people alike who are saved, he says, "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Notice this blessing here is for every member of the church of Christ. The word "blessed" there simply means happy, and it speaks of the Lord's blessing upon his faithful children, his faithful disciples. Yes, there is the blessing of sufficient grace. The Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Believer, as you follow the Lord as his faithful disciple, you will find grace sufficient for your every need. It was old Bishop Ryle, that Anglican bishop of England and Liverpool of a bygone day, who said, "Grace is stronger than any of our circumstances." And grace is always sufficient for you, believer, in following the Lord. There's also the blessing of knowing the peace of God, even in the fiercest of storms. Listen to what David says in Psalm 37, verse 37. He says, "Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." And then there's also the blessing of a surrendered will. David could say in Psalm 31 of God, he said, "My times are in thy hand." David was confident that the Lord was in control, that the Lord was working out all things for good in his life. And likewise, when our wills are surrendered to God, and when we can say in the providences of life, "The will of the Lord be done," then we too will have confidence in the Lord. We'll be delivered from fear and anxiety. We'll have a testimony that glorifies the Lord before others. Then we can say further, there's also the blessing of a useful life. You think of the three Hebrew children in Daniel. When they were faithful to the Lord, even though they were cast into the fiery furnace, what was the outcome? They were the means of being a witness to an ungodly man, an ungodly king, Nebuchadnezzar. They were the means of appointing and directing that ungodly king to the Lord. Turn back to Daniel chapter number 3, and you'll see this for yourself in the Bible. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 28. You know the story, how the three Hebrew children were cast into the fiery furnace because of their faithfulness to the Lord. The Lord preserved them. The Lord protected them. Look at verse 28 of Daniel chapter 3. It says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed," notice it, "blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." Here was a man brought up in heathenism, false religion, idolatry. Yet because of these three Hebrew children, because of their faithfulness to the Lord and being a disciple for Christ, this ungodly king is made to acknowledge God and to own God as sovereign, as one who is Lord over all. Here you see how God blesses his faithful disciples. Christian, be faithful to the Lord in your home. Be faithful to the Lord in your workplace. Be faithful to the Lord in your neighborhood, in your community. Be faithful to the Lord in your church and in the witness here. And the Lord will bless you. The Lord will use you for his honor and glory. That's what our text says. And Christ cannot lie.
Christ cannot deny his word. He says, "Our blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." The Lord is always true to his word. He says over in the book of 1 Samuel, "Them that honor me," he says, "I will honor." Dear Christian, when you honor the Lord, you stand up for the Lord and for his word. All the world, yes, may be against you. The devil, yes, may attack you. He may frown upon you. But I tell you this, the Lord will bless you. And the Lord will be with you. And the Lord will use you for his honor and for his glory. And the Lord's hand will be upon you for good. And all that you seek to do, he will use it for his honor, for his glory, for the extension of his kingdom. Oh, in our life, day by day, by God's grace, let us seek to be the Lord's faithful followers. Take this promise home with you today, child of God. Plead it before God. Ask the Lord to give you grace to follow him day by day, for he says, "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." May God write his word and his truth upon all our hearts today for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll conclude our service today by singing together hymn number 535 in our own hymn books, the final hymn in our order of service. "Rejoice in the Lord, O let his mercy cheer. He sunders the bands that enthrall. Redeemed by his blood, why should we ever fear, since Jesus is our all in all?" If God be for us, that's a great statement of the gospel, the word of God, who can be against us? We'll keep our seats when our sister leads us in the organ and her praise, please.
Thank you.
Our Father and our God, we thank Thee today for Thy presence among us. Bless, Lord, Thy word, Thy truth to our hearts. Write them, these things upon the tables of our hearts and of our minds, we pray. Help us to live out Thy word, and help us in these days in which we live not to be offended at Christ. How, Lord, Paul counseled Timothy not to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us in our daily life, wherever we might be as the people of God, to honor the Lord, to stand up, O God, for Thee, to own the name of Christ, that by our life and by our testimony, Christ would be glorified, and that others would be directed to Him, even for salvation. Anyone with us today not saved, Lord? O God, may they realize, O God, that there's an appointed time for them to die, to leave this world. May they make preparation for that appointed time even today by seeking the Lord for their salvation. Take us now to our homes in safety. Bless us throughout this Thy day. Return us again in Thy will this evening hour. For we ask all these things in the wonderful name of our Savior, giving Thee thanks. Amen. Amen. I'll not be going to the door, but if you do need to speak to me, I'll be here at the front. Come and speak to us. I'd be glad to help you in any way. If there's any pastoral needs, give us a ring, whatever. And again, we'll be glad to help you and visit you if that is required and that is need. So thank you. Just take your time just as you leave an empty pew from pew at the back. Thank you.